Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. It's Bish, EB, and JP. And join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines, our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. And I think Jason gave him an assignment earlier this week.
I did. I asked him, well, what was it?
It was to do some research on a new walk-up song if he wanted a new one.
If he wanted a new one, yes. But I didn't realize that particular song was his walk-up.
Yeah.
So he may just want to stick with it.
Craig, did you come to a decision?
No, still working on it. We said by the start of the season, so maybe we debut week one.
That's his way of saying I don't really care, and
no,
I have not.
No,
this is
my way of saying that I have not found one yet.
I got you.
I'm working on it. I have been working on it since even before earlier in the week, and it's driving me crazy. But I have not been able to find one that I'm.
Do you want us to play like some of the songs that you've thought of, just real quick? Give us play some like snippets and. We narrow it down. Maybe we do that another time.
I've wasted enough of my own hours on Spotify bopping around different playlists and things that I don't need to waste yours or the listeners' time.
All right, so Seahawk, is Alex Smith going to play tonight?
I don't know, and my initial lean right now is no. Like I'm 60-40 no. And I think part of that is the joint practices, and they were really good against the Jets in Richmond. And so I don't know how much more value Jay sees in putting him out there for a series or two, especially if they decide, let's not play Trent. And then all of a sudden you're talking about Jaron Christian, who was not very good last week, obviously, in the preseason against the Jets ones, and that could end poorly. I don't know if, like, in terms of what the plan was with Jordan Reed, whether he would be scheduled to play tonight. And it gets to a point where if you don't have Trent protecting, you're not going to be throwing to Jordan. I don't know where Josh Doctson is at in terms of wanting him to play with his heel still a little bit sore. What's the point? If you don't have anyone to protect you, you don't have anyone to throw to, then what's the point of being out there if you're the first string quarterback when those are the guys you're supposed to be getting work with? So, add in those factors with the fact that they already played this team this week three times, kind of, with the reps that he got in practice being more than he'd ever get in the game, and I don't know that he's going to play tonight.
Mm. Yeah, you make good points.
Who's going to be the likely starting running back?
I think Rob Kelly probably gets the start. Maybe they start P. Ryan to mix it up since Kelly got the start technically last week. And then obviously wound up playing a little bit more with Darius getting hurt. So I would think Rob Kelly's the starter. Samaje Perine gets a fair amount of work. And then Marshall and Bibbs, I would assume, also get work. And I would assume that Chris Thompson doesn't play and Byron Marshall's their starting third down back.
Who do you like better between Marshall and Bibbs right now?
It's tough. I think they like Marshall a little bit better. I might like Capri a little bit better. I think Capri's a better runner. And I think Byron's a better pass catcher, but Capri's really good at it. Chris Thompson said he thinks Capri is one of the best route running backs he's ever seen. He can split out and do all the things that Byron can do as well. Byron's got a little bit more big play ability, but I just think from a consistency standpoint, I feel like Bibbs is a better runner of the football. And I think Bibbs is I think he's one of the best backs they have. And so I would probably wind up trying to figure out a way to keep him.
So in those practices, the joint practices with the Jets for 3 days, how much did Reed play?
Jordan was out there a fair amount. I mean, Jordan's healthy, but on a pitch count, they're slowly bringing him back on purpose, trying to acclimate him since he did miss all of the offseason program. And so he played, I'm trying to think if in the team, yeah, I think on the first 2 days and definitely the middle day, I feel like he played in the team periods, like the 2-minute situational type stuff. Was a factor there. He definitely played 7-on-7, one-on-ones, and all that kind of stuff. But team, he definitely got some reps in as well, and he did not as much. He didn't participate at all on the final day, but a lot of the starters wound up sitting that out.
Mm-hmm. So those last two practices were skirmish-free, There was no dust.
Yeah,
ups.
There was a couple. I mean, there was the one video that everyone saw of DJ Swearinger barking at Terrell Pryor and the flinch and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
And there was maybe one or two like small scraps that happened, you know, when teams are practicing themselves. But in terms of an all-out brawl like we had last week, yeah. No, nothing close to that.
Did you see the Jimmy Ward, DeAndre Hopkins video?
I did see that.
Man, that was vicious.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins has gotten in a cup. Like, yeah. He got in a fight in a game a couple years ago, didn't he? Or no, maybe that was Andre Johnson who just meleeed Cortland Finnegan. That's what that was.
Yeah, that was Johnson.
Wrong Texans receiver.
Yeah, that was Johnson. But in this particular fight, I'm putting it on Jimmy Ward. I mean, Jimmy Ward, the play was over, and Jimmy Ward punched Hopkins for no reason.
Yeah, and he's the one who popped his helmet off in the first place, which is not something that should
happen. But
see, that's
what you get in those joint practices, man. That's the
yeah,
risk.
Yeah, and it's testosterone overload, and it's comes at a time, like, if teams are going to do these, they should probably do them earlier in camp, maybe the first preseason opponent instead of the second, because at this point in camp, teams are fighting amongst themselves. They're just so ready to hit someone else that they can. And as Trent had a two quotes that made a lot of sense. One, testosterone overload, basically, was the quote. But the other one, it says, there's no repercussions out here. You're not going to get fined. You're not going to get suspended. The worst thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to get kicked out of practice.
Yeah.
And so when you have no repercussions, then you're willing to go farther than you would if there were repercussions. And that's why dudes fight.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, Redskins. Second preseason game tonight against the Jets. I don't know that we've spent that much time talking about what to expect from the Redskins' pass rush. Obviously, Kerrigan's there. Preston Smith, I believe it's a contract year. How's the pass rush looking?
It is a contract year for Preston. He looks fantastic. He's shown really, really well. He's gotten a lot of reps against Trent Williams, and it's not like he wins a ton of them because no one beats Trent Williams in one-on-ones, but it's obviously making him better, and he definitely gives Trent all he can handle. And with Preston, too, there's just a maturity to his game and to him in general that is different than anything I've seen from him up to this point. It's been a progression, but he's definitely continued to advance along those lines. Then Ryan's Ryan. He's going to play, you know, you think he's going to play 16 games. He's never missed a game in his career, and he's going to produce at a high level because that's what Ryan Kerrigan does. And then it's question marks. You know, Ryan Anderson has been up and down continually in camp. He's better than he was last year, but that's not saying a whole lot because he was terrible last year by his own admission. And then Pernell McPhee, he's never popped to me. He's just there. You know, maybe he makes a play here or there, but nothing that ever really jumps out. And then the really interesting guy that I think is the wild card here that could work his way into the rotation if those other two guys, Anderson and McPhee, aren't special is Pete Robertson. He's got a really unique skill set. He's really, really, really fast. And he's going to make this team. I mean, he's someone they count on special teams now with his speed because not just speed in pass rush situations. He's got, like, legitimate run down the field speed. And so he's great on kickoff return, punt coverage, things like that. And so if he can be a situational pass rusher, he's someone who could affect them. I think the other big thing with the pass rush this year, though, is the inside guys. Allen looks ridiculous. Payne looks really good. If Ioannidis can get back on the field and produce like he did last year, especially next to Allen, like, you're talking about some inside guys that can create pressure up the middle of the pocket, get some sacks themselves, and hopefully also force the guys right into the arms of the waiting outside guys.
I'm reading your email from a couple days ago, and you said you sat down with Matt Cavanaugh. I haven't listened to it yet. You said you got some good stuff with him, some good stuff on Alex, how the offense changes without Geist, et cetera. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Matt's an interesting guy. I mean, I think in many ways he's overlooked because it went from it's Sean's offense to it's Jay's offense, and Cavanaugh's been there the whole time. He was the quarterback's coach under McVay, elevates to offensive coordinator, and basically, the run game is Callahan's baby. But when it comes to the passing game, they have this just complete, it's almost like a Mensa meeting. You know, Kavanaugh's been in the NFL for 40 years as a player and coach. You got Kevin O'Connell, who's been under Chip Kelly and has been under Bill Belichick and has been around some of the smartest minds in the game. And then you got Gruden and you got Ike Hilliard, who was a college player under Spurrier and brings that like run and shoot thing, but also played in the NFL for a long, long time with the Giants, saw multiple offenses there. And these guys all get together and put together this incredible passing game that is as respected as anything in the league. And then for Kavanaugh, it's his job just kind of be another set of eyes, you know, as an offensive coordinator, overlay you know, everything that Jay wants to get across. If Jay's got to go be a head coach and, you know, work with the defense or work with some other unit. And Kavanaugh is there and has Jay's trust completely. You know, when it comes to Geis, I think the interesting thing there was, you know, it wasn't the Jay head coach speak of, oh, nothing changes. It was, yeah, it's going to change because we thought Darius had a really unique skill set, but it's not going to change where we feel like woe is us because we like these other guys too. And all we're going to do is tailor what they do well and put that in our offense. In terms of Alex, he said he was blown away. I mean, expected to be impressed, but was really, really blown away with just how obviously smart Alex was when he got here. And the only challenge they've had is making sure that everyone's on the same page in verbiage. And anyone who's been around the NFL will tell you that is the biggest challenge often, especially even when it's going from a similar between similar offenses, because, you know, a route combination, say, you know, if it's a dig and a go on one side in one offense, you might call it wildcat, and another offense, you might call it tiger or something like that. And if it's wildcat in your head, it's like bouncing back and forth between like Italian and Spanish. They're so similar that you might get the words messed up those words, but you get what I'm saying. And so for Alex, it was just learning the verbiage, but he understands the concepts, not just at like, okay, if A happens, I'm supposed to do B, but he understands that if A happens, I'm supposed to do B because of this reason. And that deeper understanding of the offense has really, really impressed them and helped them and shorten the learning curve by a lot.
You know, my understanding was through the three practices, beyond all the fighting and everything, that Sam Darnold really impressed. You have the same opinion?
Yeah, I thought he was good. There is a bunch of times where I'm like, man, that's a nice ball. And he would put the ball right where his receiver could get it and no one else could. And it wouldn't always be complete, in part because I think the Jets are a really bad football team. And so the guys he's throwing to, like one of their tight ends wore 86, and you're just going, that's not Jordan Reed. And he just balls through his hands every single day, but Darnold put it on his hands. And that's all you can ask for a quarterback. And so I know Josh Norman came away really impressed. I saw a note from Rich Cimini of ESPN, who's their Jets reporter, that said, I think he threw 56 balls over the 3 days and didn't get picked off once. And so, yeah, he's got a lot of talent. Obviously, when he gets in game situations, he's going to have a learning curve and he's a rookie and all those things. But he's got an arm and he's really, really accurate.
That 86 that you were speaking of is Jordan Leggett from Clemson. I thought he was pretty good. He was pretty good at Clemson, but maybe he's just having a bad camp. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff was covered, but in the NFL, you know, that's how you're going to have to catch balls. You got to catch them in traffic when they're contested. And, yeah, he had a lot of balls go through his hands.
I mean, we'll get to judge a little bit for ourselves tonight. I mean, we'll be able to have some evaluation. But, I mean, you saw him for 2-3 practices, whatever it was. Do you think the Redskins were markedly better?
Ooh,
By the way, Tony Dungy predicted 10-6 off air.
Look, I guess that's on air now. I tend to lean like that direction, that they are somewhere between an 8-8 and a 10-6 football team, depending on health. Like, I think that they are better. It's hard. The only reason I hesitate is because I don't know if the last 3 days changed a lot other than like what I think the Jets are, which is bad. And so you're going, how much of this is that the Jets are a bad team that they just move the ball on nonstop for 3 days in practice versus, man, this Redskins offense could be pretty good. And I do think that with all its pieces, it could be really good, because while Doxson's not going to put up huge numbers in terms of volume, he is a constant deep threat that has to be accounted for. Paul Richardson, the same thing. And so those guys open each other up if a safety is on one side or the other. And eventually, you know, you don't help enough and you wind up with a deep ball. You know, Jordan Reed is going to take your best coverage safety or linebacker, which means your second best one is guarding Vernon Davis, and that's not good. And then if you play zone, they've got guys all over the board who understand how to find holes in zones, from Jordan to Vernon to Jamison Crowder to even Richardson. You know, tracking him screaming horizontally across the field in a zone is no treat. And so all Alex has to do is distribute, and then if they can have some semblance of a running game. I mean, Kirk threw for 4,000 yards last year, and an offense that uses a ton of play action with a 30th ranked running game. If they can be 18th then this offense is going to be really, really good. And then it's obviously on Alex to not turn it over and maximize scoring opportunities.
Quickly, you sent me that text. You're a personal trainer as well, and you wanted to give your thoughts on the Maryland disaster.
Yeah, just I'll say this real quick. The thing that bothers me the most about that is in reading the ESPN story is that the program and the culture that they had created was bound to do something like this. Whether it was getting to the extreme of literally killing a kid or hurt someone, like there was no strength and conditioning person worth their salt would have read that thing and went, oh, I saw what they were trying to do. And when your program looks like it's designed to kill someone, and it does, I hope that there are serious, serious repercussions. And honestly, like, this is the kind of thing negligence wise that should send someone to jail.
Hmm. It might. Yeah, I mean, we'll I think the trainers are the biggest problems
culprits.
Here. I mean, those guys didn't even take this vital signs. I mean, they were talking about negligence.
There's a lot. I mean, from the culture that Durkin apparently has created, where the athletic trainers, whose job it is to keep the players safe, think, let's just yell at the kid and carry drag him across the field, to the strength and conditioning staff that encouraged that behavior and would throw things at people. And, like, what's the point of making a kid eat candy bars in front of his teammates because he has to lose weight? Well, like, it's just so intellectually stupid on top of being ridiculous, like testosterone overload. And I read that story and went, what were you trying to do? Because it looks like what you did is exactly what you were trying to do, which is terrible because these parents trust you with their kids.
I'm with you on that, Craig. It's irresponsible and stupid if that's the way it actually happened. There are two sides to all of it.
Right, and that's why I'm very intrigued to see this report come out September 15th.
Yeah, I mean, if this report, this independent investigation corroborates everything we saw in the piece, then yes, then all those guys got to go down.
Listen, but I'm sure you were sleeping.
That's if it happened that way.
But we had Tony Dungy on the show. We had him in studio for an hour, and he's the exact opposite of that. And he said his mentors, like Bill Walsh, who else
Chuck
did he say?
Chuck Knoll.
They didn't coach that way. He didn't coach that way. And then we talk about Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs didn't coach that way.
You don't have to. Yeah. You create a standard of excellence where you say, and it's like, you need to read about like the Champions Club that they had. And if you couldn't survive a workout, then you're out of the Champions Club. Well, some days you just don't have it. And there's all the times as a trainer, and especially, and this is why the strength and conditioning position at college or in the NFL is so hard, because you have to be 90 different coaches. If you have 90 guys, you have to be a 90 different kinds of coach, because you have to connect with each individual guy. That's why you have an entire staff of people to do this. And you have to be able to read on any given day how much they have in the tank. And you want to empty their tank for that day, but their tank on Monday is different than it is on Friday. And so when you don't have that ability to personalize this stuff and you make everyone do the same thing all the time, and there's expectation that if you don't reach that, then like you're a failure. That's terrible coaching. You need to create a standard of excellence where they want to bring their best every day, where they sleep and they eat right and they do these things, because if they don't, they feel like they're letting their teammates down and they're letting you down as a coach. And it's almost guilt over shame, if that makes sense. It's internal, but it's not external. Well, okay, you know, you don't have it today. It's because you stayed out partying instead of sleeping. Well, that's on you, and you're letting us down because we have a season to get ready for. But I'm not going to push you past your limits because that's going to put you in danger.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, Craig. Appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy the
game. You got it, guys. See ya.
All right, Craig Hoffman, everybody. Our Ritz.
Really good stuff there from Craig. What I've noticed about Craig, though, he doesn't like the off the subject topics on the air. Like, Jason wanted to be a matchmaker for Craig in the week that you were gone, EB.
What do you mean?
He wants to set up Craig with some chick that he knows, or a friend of a friend.
No, my physical therapist asked me if I thought he was worthy. I said, well, I mean, he seems like a nice guy. I mean, I don't know much. I don't hang out with him personally, but she had a friend that she wanted to set up.
Trying to hook him up.
He didn't want that really on air. He doesn't want the music stuff on air.
I think he's a little hardcore in terms of the sports. I don't think he wants to talk about his personal life on air.
I'll blame him.
It's fine. I don't know if that ever happened. I don't know.
Should we do a dating game with Seahawks?
Probably not.
All right, coming up next, we can get into what Jabril Peppers said about DJ Durkin, because it's interesting that a former player at Michigan has now weighed in. Jabril Peppers was a great player at the University of Michigan. I believe Durkin was his defensive coordinator. We'll get into that next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We just had our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman on. Talks primarily about the preseason game, but gave his take as a trainer about what's going on at the University of Maryland. There are different reports. Like, there's this report that a lot of donors have been actually saying they're supporting DJ Durkin. One longtime booster said that all of these donors expressed that basically DJ is getting out made to hang out to dry, and that some of these so-called athletes are looking for participation trophies. Life is not about participation. It's about learning life skills. DJ has been a great teacher of those. So there's that perspective. But one of his former players at the University of Michigan when he was defensive coordinator is Jabril Peppers, who is now with the Cleveland Browns. And he was a star at Michigan. And he was quoted as saying, "Coach Durkin, he's just a different guy. His tactics were different. It felt extreme at times. I'm just as shocked reading all that stuff that's going on now. I thought he was only like that because it was his first time coaching us. He was a defensive coordinator, so he was just trying to get us to buy in to how he wants his defense to play. I thought once he became a head coach that he would calm down a little bit, become more of a people person, a player's coach." So Peppers also went on to say, "It's just the way that he goes about getting the most out of his players. Me, being from where I'm from, I didn't like it, but at the end of the day, I knew what the overall goal was. The way I would have described it was kind of like bully coaching."
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he meant anything by it. It was just kind of how it comes up.
Right. He's not a bad guy. That's just the style of coaching that
he's endorsed. And he stuck with it, and he probably made him a better player.
And that's how Greg Williams coaches. If you watch Greg Williams,
exactly,
now featured on Hard Knocks, the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, it's pretty commonplace.
Yeah, but some guys can play for those guys and have no issues, and some guys can play with those guys and really hate it. Yeah. So
some people can handle it.
Yeah, some people can. Yeah.
I actually kind of like it. Like, I remember when I did my boxing thing, it didn't work out that well. I told him, I was like, I don't mind a Bobby Knight style. If I suck, tell me I suck. Get
my,
in my face.
My son doesn't mind it. You can coach him anyway. He doesn't take it personally. He can handle it. I don't like it. Yeah. I wouldn't respond well to that. But it is what it is. Look, the bottom line is there's so much going on, and there's been a tragedy that occurs that particular coaching style is probably not going to work right now. In 2018, at the University of Maryland.
The words that are tough to live with in the ESPN article are fear, intimidation, humiliation.
Right.
Just if you're a coach that's reliant on those tactics,
well, that might work in Alabama or Ohio State, and until a kid dies.
Yeah.
But once a kid dies,
I guarantee you, it's happening at those schools too.
All the big schools.
But you know what? The end of the day, if the commission finds that the majority of people believe that's what's happening over there, then the coaching staff will be gone, or at least head coach will be gone until next year, and then they'll blow out the entire staff. But if they find out that there's only a select few that felt that way and the majority supported Durkin and didn't agree with the report, then maybe he can survive, maybe he can't.
Be hard to. I just think from a recruiting standpoint.
Recruiting would be difficult.
I don't know how he can recruit now.
And he's recruited well.
I know.
Yeah, but this just, I mean, it just stops it dead in its
tracks. I think it would be a great story, though, if Canada somehow leads them to some. Look, they're not going to beat Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. They're not close to that level. Those tend to be blowouts. But it'd be great if they pulled off an upset against Texas. You know, opening game, sometimes you see that where teams aren't ready. Mm-hmm. And then get 7-8 wins this year with Canada, and then who knows? I'd be interested, though, if they decide.
Eight wins is
right, that's pipe
crazy.
Dream. Yeah. But getting bowl eligible would be a win
for
the University of Maryland. I'd be interested, though, because I don't think Durkin can survive, but this is all his staff, and the staff was around it.
Mm-hmm.
They're all part of the culture.
Right.
That's why they're all going to go,
keep any of those guys?
You probably can't.
They're just trying to get through the season.
But you have to have a staff for this season.
They're just getting through the season.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just quit now, and then what are you going to cancel?
Right, but what if they actually do have that successful season? Let's say Canada leads them to 7 wins. Their bowl as well. The 7th win might be in the bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 regular season wins. Hang in there a little bit better against Michigan and
you
Ohio
might
State.
Be able to, you might
maybe
be able,
they promote Canada to full-time coach next
maybe
year.
Maybe they can keep some of those assistants because, this sort of
they're the assistant. And they had to be lieutenants.
Yeah, and they've changed. Culture's changed.
Right. Now they got juice boxes on the sideline.
Right. Everybody's got their squeezy apple juice.
Or they let DJ go and the team goes 5-7 or 4-8. And
see, my fear for Maryland, and I think the likelier outcome, I hate to say it, the likelier outcome is kind of what's happening with the Nats. Like, I kind of feel like the Nats are folding now. Like, they know it's done. It's just, I mean, they've lost 4 in a row. They're 9 back.
Yep.
9 back. They're 9 back in the NL East. Could you have ever predicted that that could happen?
Nope.
I want to say, though, I think for the record, in the even with the lack of hitting notwithstanding last night, I don't think they've quit. They're just losing. They're not good enough.
I don't think they go out there and just don't give 100%.
Like, they've been fighting, coming back, eighth inning, ninth inning comebacks,
this is what
and
they are.
Losing.
I think this is what the Nats are. The Nats are a 500 at best team at this point.
Right, but they're not quitting. They're trying their ass off. They're just not good enough for whatever reason.
That's what it is. They're just not good enough.
Yeah. But I don't think they've quit.
Especially in the bullpen.
Now, they may. I might change my tune in the next few weeks. But so far, I don't think I've
seen
it.
But the game in Wrigley that Mattson gave up the walk-off slam, that was the clincher right there.
Back-to-back walk-off losses.
True, but that was the one where Philly had lost, or maybe Atlanta, whoever was
the
first
Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night game. And they would have been 4.5 back, and then all of a sudden, now you're, you know, after the St. Louis walk off, you're
seven, psychological pressure
you're seven
on
back,
the
and then you feel like, well, we got to win every
Braves.
Game.
But the Braves just keep winning.
Yeah, well, the Braves are good. Yeah. The Braves are better than anyone thought.
But anyway, I could see it going the way of the Nats, how they've lost 4 in a row, that Texas game doesn't go well, and it just
I mean, if they get blown out by Texas, and then they squeak over Bowling Green.
But they could lose to Bowling Green. Didn't they lose? Who'd they lose to last year that was surprising?
Well,
early in
UCF
the season?
Early. But they ended up going undefeated, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
UCF. They beat Texas. They beat Towson big. And then they lost to UCF. Then they beat Minnesota. They got smoked by Ohio State. They lost to Northwestern, who was ranked 17. They got smoked by Wisconsin. They squeaked over Indiana. They basically squeaked over Rutgers. Got their butts kicked by Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They played a tight game, no low scoring against Michigan State, and then just got drilled and humiliated by Penn State.
Yeah.
The three big boys just clobbered them, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State.
Right, and they should have.
I mean, and Wisconsin.
Especially since they had all those quarterback injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, Maryland had quarterbacks playing last year, should have never even seen the field.
Was it Bortschlager?
Bortschlager, and was his name Max? Is it Max
Bortschlager?
Yeah.
Well, and they also had was it last year they had the kid that transferred? No, that was 2 years ago.
But this year, Texas is going to be really good. All right. Bowling Green is going to be bad. All right. They got a brand new quarterback. I think they lost a bunch of guys from last year. Should beat them. All right. Maryland should beat Bowling Green. Should beat Temple at home, but maybe a flip of the coin, depending on how you know, what the injuries look like. And then Minnesota will be tough, and then you get into the Big Ten schedule. Should beat Rutgers, but you never know.
Yeah. Look, I'm pulling for them.
There's 4 or 5 games where you look at the schedule and you say they should win those games.
I'd love to see Matt Canada be a phenom coach as a head coach.
But it's not like they don't have talent. They've got some offensive talent.
Well, they've brought in a bunch of guys the last couple of years.
Right.
Who
good players.
Were pretty good recruits. Yeah. You know, they don't get a ton of 5 stars, but they've by the rankings, I've seen when the rankings come out, they're in like top 25.
Yeah, right. So,
which for Maryland is excellent.
Let's see how it translates. But there are definitely games on this schedule where you go, we got to have that one. And then what happens at the end of the year, we'll have to see.
I met with somebody yesterday, and kind of the show got brought up kind of on the periphery. It wasn't like about the show. And the Maryland thing, I brought it up, and I was blown away. He had no idea. Just thinking to myself,
well,
I didn't,
it's just not plugged
I
in.
Didn't joke on the guy. I was
the
like,
guy's not
have you
in.
Watched the news
no.
locally? Have you opened the Washington Post?
No.
I was like, this is, I think, the biggest story in Maryland, the state.
Sure.
Politics. There's kind of some politics.
It actually is the biggest story in college football.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, but maybe you can be a non-college football fan, but he lives in Maryland.
Right. This goes
like,
beyond
how
sports.
Did you miss that?
Yeah. Well, what does he do for a living?
Financial guy.
All right. Kind of explains it.
Yes, he's staring at the Dow Jones industrial average all day.
Is he a sports fan?
I think so. You know, it's not a close friend. It's an acquaintance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would surprise me.
My mom was aware of the story.
Well,
she's not a sports fan.
It goes beyond
college football. Fan.
It goes beyond sports.
That's why I thought everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
How do you not know about it? How do you miss that?
Some people.
All right, when we come back,
some people are just engulfed in their life and they just, you know, they don't pay attention.
Can I? Can we? I'm gonna de-unengulf you or whatever it is. I'm gonna get you into the EP because I know you're too engulfed in sports. I'm gonna engulf you into the entertainment world.
Let me ask you this: is there one story you've already previewed the stories, right?
Yeah.
Matt gave it to you. Is there one story you think will intrigue me or interest me?
I think there's one story that's gross that you're gonna pay attention to. Somebody, yes, involves poop.
Oh, it involves poo. Why do you think I'd be interested in that?
Well, I know I am.
You're fixated on it.
It could be. There's a
only
poop,
one guy. There's
a
more
poop
fixated.
Mystery in, with some celebrities, and it could have been the final straw in their divorce. A poop mystery.
Sounds weird.
Yeah, we'll get into that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
I love it. Valdez gets really fired up for the entertainment page, and so he doesn't want you to bum rush it. He comes in with the entertainment music, but I love that EB's gone.
Yeah,
he's probably
eating
his donut. Because thank you to Pete Medhurst. You can listen to him after us at 10 o'clock with Grant. But Pete came in here. Not only did he bring a donut, he brought in a breakfast sandwich for Jason because Jason said he wanted bacon, egg, and cheese.
No, it wasn't a breakfast sandwich. It was just, there was a donut in that bag.
Oh, okay.
And I knew that he wanted the donut, so I just gave him the donut.
No, but I think he brought both.
Oh.
He brought you a breakfast Sammy.
I don't think he did.
I thought he did.
No, I think there was a donut in that bag.
Okay, so he just brought an extra donut.
He told me there was a donut.
He had three donuts.
Right, Valdez?
No breakfast sandwich.
Okay. Yeah, it was just donuts.
But anyway, EB wasn't here at the beginning.
What are you guys laughing at?
JP's like in a space cadet today.
Yeah,
or
he doesn't know what's going on.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't remember what was in the bag. I know I was here and he offered Jason something, which he turned down. And
there
I remember Jason requesting a breakfast sandwich. So I made an assumption that he brought that.
No, there was a donut in that bag.
All right, guys, I teased the poop story. So
you want to get off that so you don't care about that?
No, I don't care. We can talk about whatever you want.
No, I just think it's funny.
Here's the poop story that I find interesting.
All right.
So Johnny Depp, right, he's a mess. And his ex-wife, Amber Heard, apparently had a big fight, and this was kind of the final straw, when Johnny Depp accused her after the fight of leaving a mess on his bed sheets. Like, not like... a number one.
She wouldn't do that.
Like so, skid marks?
So here's, not beyond that, like beyond the pale,
like a
full-blown evacuation.
Dumpy.
Because apparently the housekeeper saw this, and she claimed it was their little Yorkie. They have a little Yorkie terrier or whatever. I don't know. I don't know anything about dogs.
Yeah, they're about this big.
Yeah. And
they get on my nerves,
And
too.
The housekeeper was like...
Yorkies, all they do is bark. Yep.
She claimed it was the Yorkie that did that after the big fight. The housekeeper said, there's no chance that little dog made a mess that big. Impossible.
Really?
And Johnny Depp lost his mind and accused Amber Heard of doing it.
But why would she do that?
I think she was mad at him.
Dropped
the Deuce Daily right on the bed sheets.
So she did it. So she got on top
That's
of this.
That's what he thinks.
She's
right on the Egyptian cottons.
He's saying that she got on top of that bed, squatted, laid her business, and left it there.
That's what the allegation is. I don't know what to tell you, Jason.
I think that the housekeeper is paid by
so
Johnny
So do you
Depp.
Think a little Yorkie could have done that?
Is there a picture of it?
No, I don't have a picture of it.
There was a picture.
I don't have a picture.
We'd analyze it for an hour.
Well, I don't know.
But
if it looked at
one of my sillies, if it looked like that.
But the housekeeper is probably backing Johnny Depp because he's the one who pays
Yeah, but you've definitely heard of people doing that when they're bitter at other people.
I saw the lady do it in the donut shop or whatever. The flower shop, whatever the hell that was. Remember
she did it right on the floor.
And then she threw it at the guy.
We had a buddy send it in the mail.
Yeah.
Who'd he send that to? Another friend, right?
One of his college buddies.
I've never heard
that's
of that.
A real. That's,
didn't somebody do that?
He should have gone to prison for that. Really, it was brutal.
Didn't somebody do that in someone else's shoe, a teammate in the
Gilbert
locker room?
Gilbert Arenas did that.
Oh, yeah, Gilbert did it.
No, I have a buddy, that
I've
mailed
never,
his.
I've never witnessed,
so it's common.
Experienced it. I've just,
yeah,
I find it hard to believe.
You get bitter, you drop a deuce.
I believe a hot chick like Amber Heard would... lay a deuce on this bed.
Dude, that woman that pooped at the flower store, the donut shop, whatever it was, she wasn't unattractive from afar.
You disgust.
She was like a jogger or whatever.
I'm just telling you. It's just hard for
We've
me to
had,
believe.
The joggers do that all the time, right? Don't you have joggers? They're like mystery poopers.
People's yard.
Yeah, they get, on their run. Sometimes some people are weird, man, with their poop.
So now all the stories go downhill from here.
No, no.
That was the best. That I was going to be interested in.
Well, Dane Cook, remember, he was at the top of the comedic world there for a
while. Former Junkies guest.
Oh, sure. Probably had him on several times. There was a time where he was selling out Madison Square Garden, touring the country. Now I don't think his career is kind of the same.
I think I saw he has a special coming out.
Been accused of stealing jokes and everything. He still works, but it's not the same. He did movies.
Probably doing all right.
But he's doing all right in terms of the dating game, Jason.
Yeah.
He's 46 years old, and he's currently dating a 19-year-old chick, singer-songwriter, 27 years younger than him.
Name?
You want her name.
It's Drab's favorite story.
Kelsey Taylor.
And is she like a pop star, country?
Nah, I don't think she's any star at all.
Kelsey.
But she's 19 years old. Kelsey, K-E-L-S-I. Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
She's 19, he's 46. And, of course, he's getting flack all over the internet, social media, for dating someone so young. Do you have a problem with that? 46 years old, dating a 19-year-old chick.
If Kelsey Taylor was my daughter, yeah, I'd have a problem with it. Since I don't care about her, I don't have a problem with
it. Right. So I would say then you generally don't have a problem with it.
EB, love is love.
Do you have a problem with it?
There's no age for love.
I mean,
I think when you're at 19 and 40, like 19 is, that's basically 17. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's like
it's
not that different
young.
From 17. It's a few months removed
but
from it.
You're asking me.
I'm not saying in terms of legal. It's just that like the maturity level of a 19-year-old.
Of course. Awful.
And a 46-year-old. I'm sure they have great conversations.
Yeah, I'm sure they have great conversation.
It's a physical relationship. But if you're asking me, do I care? Honestly, no.
I know you don't care, but
I couldn't care less.
You know it's trifling.
Thought-provoking conversation.
Yes, it is trifling. And she is pretty hot. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, you see these pictures, and he does look like... If you saw them walking around, you go, oh, that's his daughter.
That's your daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, that's his girl.
Is this your daughter? Oh, hi, my name's Jason. No, I'm his girlfriend.
Right. Shots were fired at a 50 Cent, and I don't even know... How do you say the other rapper's name? Is it 6x9? How do you say that guy's name?
I thought it was 6x9. I don't know. But it's the guy with the big face tattoo.
All those guys have face tattoos now. But apparently they were doing a video shoot in Brooklyn and shots were fired. So watch out. Never safe, apparently, of these rappers these days. I don't know what's going on. Bob Lee is taking a six-month sabbatical from ESPN. He says it's 100% his decision. He'll be taking a six-month sabbatical from his outside the line on ESPN duties. The idea of stepping back to recharge is fully 100% mine and one I've considered for a while. I want to do that.
Yeah, me too.
I want a six-month sabbatical. Paid, though.
Can we do it
together? Yes. I want it paid.
JP and Cakes can do it for 6 months.
Angelina.
We get your pay. Done.
Angelina Jolie must give Brad Pitt more visitation with kids, according to the judge. Jolie's now given Pitt. He gets 4 hours of custody every other day on school days and then 12 hours every other day on non-school days. That seems reasonable.
But they never spend the night?
Don't know that. They say it's the latest and increasingly testy divorce. Jolie claimed in court papers that Pitt is a deadbeat dad. He immediately hit back and said, I gave you $8 million to buy a house.
You're the worst father I ever met.
He actually loaned her, but still, he loaned her $8 million.
She didn't need $8 million to buy the house.
Well, they say his income just completely dwarfs hers.
She used to be one of the highest paid people in Hollywood.
She doesn't work like Brad Pitt.
Well, no, because she's got 100 kids.
Yeah. I don't know why you put the picture of Cakes' food in the EP. That's so finished. We're not doing that.
He loves bologna sandwiches. Not bologna and cheese, it's bologna sandwich.
With the smiley face mustard.
With the smiley face. Well, that was his wife.
And then last but not least, you know that guy Dan Bilzerian? You want to talk about a guy that likes attention dollars? He's the guy on Instagram.
He's always with hot chicks.
He's always with hot chicks, shooting guns off and whatever. He's apparently launching a $1 million model search. So, I don't know. Going to give $1 million away. 10 girls. $100,000 each.
So it's like Survivor.
I guess. I don't know.
Reality show for models. Isn't that what Tyra Banks has?
I don't think they got that much, did they?
I have no idea. America's Top Model or whatever that show's called.
Anyway, I gotta get my read up for the Xfinity. Gotta do that spot.
Gotta do the spot.
Gotta make sure I got my spot right. I get sized for Xfinity.
What am I gonna eat? That's the question.
Well, so wait, I missed the early part of the Pete dilemma. So did Pete give you nothing? You got
nothing. No, he offered a donut.
No, he offered a donut.
He offered you my donut?
No, I think he bought three. I think he brought three
donuts
in.
And that little bag, by the time there was only one left.
Yeah.
He bought three. I think he bought me a donut, then didn't see me in here, and then he offered it to you. Oh, he,
No.
What's he screaming?
He's screaming that there's three donuts in the freaking bag.
Oh, I saw one. Yeah. I saw him pull out one.
Three.
That's nice. He wanted to get me a donut.
You could calm down, Pete. It's okay.
It was three donuts, three junkies.
Pete's like screaming.
It's not like we don't get them Bethesda bagels every time that they would come in.
He's feeling no appreciation.
You couldn't get me a
silly
glazed donut.
Thank you. Oh, so you turned down the donut.
I did because
I'll eat his donut. I bet Pete already ate it.
He gave it to Tom.
Oh, Tom Daly?
Yeah.
That Tom crushed it.
Oh, of course he did.
Tom could crush that donut in one bite.
If it didn't have peanuts.
Yeah, as long as there's no peanut butter in it.
Oh, that's true. How does Tom eat anyway? When you have that, he's so.
You have to check.
Yeah, but he didn't know where that came from. It could have come from right next to a peanut donut. peanut butter donut.
You have to have your EpiPen by you.
He's got his EpiPen.
Yeah, he probably sleeps with it.
All right.
So you got the Skins tonight.
Big preseason game tonight.
It's a big one.
Having a hard time
getting
worked up for that.
Tomorrow. All right, got to get out of here.
Unless Kevin Hogan's play tomorrow.
For Bish, EB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grandaddy next. Our man Pete on sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.